Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 18, text 38. Vishayendriya Samyogad Yattadagre Mritopamam Parinami Vishamiva Tatsukhang Rajasang Smritam Vishayendriya Samyogad Yattadagre Mritopamam Parinami Vishamiva Tatsukham Rajasam Smritam. That happiness which is derived from contact of the senses with their objects and which appears like nectar at first but poison at the end is said to be of the nature of passion. Purport. A young man and a young woman meet, and the senses drive the young man to see her, to touch her, and to have sexual intercourse. In the beginning, this may be very pleasing to the senses, but at the end or after some time, it becomes just like poison. They are separated, or there is divorce, there is lamentation, there is sorrow, etc. Such happiness is always in the mode of passion. Happiness derived from a combination of the senses and the sense objects is always a cause of distress and should be avoided by all means. Srila Prabhupada in this purport states, the last sentence of the purport, happiness derived from a combination of the senses and the sense objects is always a cause of distress and should be avoided by all means. That's the whole material existence finished. That's all there is. That's what everyone's doing everything for, is for Vishayendriya Samyogam, joining the senses and the sense objects with the purpose of trying to enjoy them. But as Lord Krishna points out here, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's ultimately a cause of distress. And we may wonder why everyone's trying for happiness and they just get distress. Well, we get a clue here. This material world is called Dukhalayam here in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says it's a place of misery. Why should it be a place of misery when everything we're doing is for happiness? We don't know what we're doing. We're in ignorance. The classic example given here in the purport by Srila Prabhupada is a young man becoming attracted to a young woman and gradually engages in sexual intercourse. This illicit sex, of course, he might get married, but in the civilized society, marriage doesn't work like that. It's not that you just meet and then you like each other and then you decide to get married. It's more structured than that. Underlying understanding of arranged marriages is that it's not all about sex. It's about responsibility, dharma. So this is a description of illicit sex. In the Western countries, there's very little idea of illicit sex. And you might be surprised to hear that, because that's all there is. That's the basis of the whole so-called civilization. But the idea that sex can be illicit, there's no such idea. There's just like among the animals, there's no idea. In fact, some of the animals, they're more subdued in some ways, as Srila Prabhupada several times pointed out. You'll find the animals, they have a mating season. But for the humans, it's 365 days a year. They're always. Another thing is that there are many animals who they have one partner for life. Many birds, like swans, for instance, pronounced swans in Indian English. They have one partner, and that's it. But in modern Western life, they have more than one wife, one at a time. Serial monogamy, it's called. One after the other. Get married, then split, again marry, again split. And it goes on like this. And the whole idea is that, well, life is meant for enjoyment. Because kimanyat kama haitukam. There's no other purpose to life. What other purpose could there be than enjoyment? Jagadahuranishwaram. The demons say, asatyam apratishtamte jagadahuranishwaram. This world is unreal. There's no ultimate reality. There's no ultimate basis. There's no God in control. And aparaspara sambhutam. Everything comes about by chance. Just, it's like that. And what else is there left? Kim anyat kama haitukam. There's nothing but enjoyment. And this is, this theory is supported or gained support from Sigmund Freud, the supposed to be some kind of scientist, although he was speculating about the mind. And his whole idea, based on the Darwinian evolutionary theory, built on that, that anyway, sex is natural and you just enjoy it. And if you don't enjoy it, if you suppress your urges, then you get neuroses and psychosis. So if it makes you happy, you should do it. And modern Western civilization is going on this basis. If you like, if a man likes a man sexually, yeah, it's fine. Whatever makes you happy. The present president of the French Republic is married to a woman 25 years older than himself. She was his teacher at school. Then he married her. She got divorced, and he married her. And they voted him in, and it's fine. It's wonderful. An American president is married, I think it's his third wife or something like that, to a woman who's 25 years younger. So whatever you, Vishayendriya Samyogam, whatever you feel makes you good. If you're fed up with real people, you can buy a sex robot. Yes. As long as it makes you happy. Well, it has to be consensual. Both parties have to agree. With a robot, you don't have that problem. Not yet, until they become more artificially intelligent. Who knows? And there's the age of consent. That means in many countries that you have to be 16 years old. In this country also. Girls are not allowed to be married before 18 years and boys not before 21 years. But if they agree at 16 years, they can have sexual relations. The wonderful laws of the Indian Republic. So if you have sex with a girl and she's 15 years and 364 days old, it's illegal. and you go to prison if you're caught, and the next day it's perfectly fine as long as she agrees. Nonsense laws. They have no idea what they're doing at all, but they think, yes, this is very good. Illicit sex is very bad. It's an easy thing to understand. Even if one is not very spiritually advanced, it should be a very easy thing to understand. It ruins people's lives, for instance, by disease, or they have illicit sex with someone's wife, and then the other person comes and kills them, or that ruins their life completely. This life, or burns his house down, or something. It makes people very angry, and there's a lot of emotional distress involved in breaking families, and feels I'm betrayed, my wife betrayed me, or my husband cheated on me. Polluting virgins, of course, in the Western countries there's no such idea of that. But in so many ways, I mean, there's no idea that there's something wrong with that. There's very much an idea of doing it, but there's no idea that it's wrong. So this isn't really a directly spiritual topic, but it is the ABC of human culture. And actually, even to take up spiritual life, there are some prerequisites. You've heard the words yama, niyama. These are words which they particularly apply to the yoga system, the Eightfold Yoga System, Ashtanga Yoga. But actually, they're prerequisites to human culture, that means Varnashram culture. And in any spiritual pursuit, or even if one's following Karma Kanda in Varnashram Dharma, the Yama and Niyama means there are basic rules that one has to follow. You can't be a drunkard and be a member of Vedic culture. You can't be a philanderer, fornicator, or illicit sexer and be a member of Vedic culture. It completely blocks anything auspicious, either taken materially as karma kanda, or taken spiritually if one is desirous to be merged into the impersonal Brahman, or to be a devotee of Vishnu, a Vaishnava. So this is the ABC. Bhagavad Gita is often said to be, Srila Prabhupada also said several times, like the ABC of spiritual knowledge. After absorbing the topics of Gita, of course that may take many lifetimes to do so, one can progress to studying topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we may think, well, yeah, we know all this. We studied Bhagavad Gita. I did my Bhakti Shastra degree years and years ago. So I know all this. It's everyone knows. But still, it should be discussed from time to time, because simply to know it is not enough. Just like we all know that we have to surrender to Krishna. But it's an ongoing process, sharanagati. It's not that we just immediately do it, because we have so many material attachments within the heart. So it takes time to become purified. And that purification means to become free of kam, krodh, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, lust, greed, anger, envy, pride, illusion, and envy. It takes some time. The whole world is full of calm, full of lust, full of material desire. Krishna bahir mokoya bhoga vancha kore. When we become inimical to Krishna, then the next thing is we desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. We desire to enjoy this material world. So It's everywhere. When we ask people, where is God? They'll say, God is everywhere. That's true, of course. But in this material world, the manifestation of His external energy is more prominent, more prominently perceived by most people. People are interested in enjoyment. They're not interested in God. Or even though most people may worship, most people who worship God in this world, they do so for the sake of fulfilling material desires. For instance, give us this day our daily bread. Prayer to God, feed us daily. Go on feeding us. So even though we chant Hare Krishna, we have tilak, we quote shlokas like this shloka, Vishayendriya Samyogam. It's not that automatically Hritkama Roga, the disease of the heart, of material desire in the heart, it's not that it just goes away. We are sadhakas, we are on the path of sadhana, of trying to become purified in Krishna consciousness. So that lust or desire within the heart, it doesn't immediately go. Yeah. Who can deny? Anyone want to stand up and say, anyone bold enough and say, yeah, I'm completely free of material desire. Anyone who says that, they're either a Paramahamsa or they're in a lot of trouble. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's a Paramahamsa. He's praying that Gopinath, Amito, what is that? Mama Nivedana Shuno. What is it? Vishaye, Durjana, Shada Kamarata, Kichonahi Moragun. So the whole song is about how he's feeling this lust in the heart. He's a Paramahamsa, but we are not. So this Varnashram culture, which is real civilization begins with Varnashram Dharma, not with motor cars and iPhones and internet and all this kind of thing. Real civilization means culture, means Varnashram. And as Srila Prabhupada sometimes pointed out, the whole purpose of Varnashram is to help us to overcome this Hritkama Roga, the disease in the heart of lusty desires. So it does that by Yama and Niyama, by regulation, Varnashram Dharma, it's combination of three words. There's division of society into Varnas and ashramas, different occupational divisions, and divisions according to one's social or stage of life that one's in, and dharma. Dharma is to be observed, which means dharmang tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The laws given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead for regulating human society. So real civilization means not to institutionalize the pursuit of lusty desires. Well, in one sense, Varnashram does that by giving rules under which a material enjoyment can be pursued. But modern civilization promotes that this is something very good. The Varnashram civilization, it is not that it completely stops sense gratification for everyone immediately, because that's unrealistic, but it regulates it and engages people in auspicious activities so that people may gradually become purified from that desire. And so they don't engage in gross materialistic activities which make society hell and completely destroys for the individual any chance of any auspiciousness in this life or the next. But modern civilization is based on ignorance, not on Vedic knowledge. Veda means knowledge. In modern society, even most people in India think that the Vedic knowledge is something outdated, not very meaningful. Even people who are supposed to be champions of Hinduism, they don't accept. Just recently I spoke about our Aravinda Neelakantan's attack on the Puranas and the Ramayana. He probably didn't see it like that, but he's supposed to be a champion of, intellectual champion of Hinduism, but he doesn't accept the statements of the Shastra. So this promoting karma, especially sexual freedom, as being something good, it's a sign of progressive society that we no longer have all these restrictions of the past. Of course, you won't find that so much here in Salem yet. Even in the Western world, it wasn't like that. It was until recently. And then gradually in the big cities and then in the villages and everywhere it's like that. So the way it's going, it'll be like that even in the villages and everywhere in India. Even among these people who are supposed to be more cultured, there's still a Brahmin class in South India, but it's coming, everything. Divorce, and free sex. And in Bangalore, which isn't so far from here, which is Bangalore more than Chennai, especially because the IT industry is there. They call it an IT industry, but actually industry means to work hard and make things with machine, but it's more a mental thing. Not intellectual, mental. So it's absolutely promoted there. People come from, they're from villages in Tamil Nadu. They get a so-called higher education. They go to Bangalore and they're thrown into this culture, so-called culture of illicit sex and drinking alcohol and not respecting seniors. You know, you were there, Chittahari. Of course, you're from Chennai, you're not from a small village, but you were in that, and somehow you managed to, well, by the grace of Krishna, you were chanting Hare Krishna. You survived that. But they deliberately put people, those who come, they deliberately, what is this, all this stupid, not having, what, you're not having sex, what's wrong with you? And one disciple of mine told me he went for an interview in one of these companies, and they asked him, if a girl working with you proposed that you have sex, what would you say? And he said, what kind of question is that? He walked out of the interview. But that's they'll ask you right in the job interview. They want to promote illicit sex. But then, everything, the whole culture breaks. Any semblance of actual human life breaks down and people become just like animals. You may wonder why Srila Prabhupada so much, he said, they're not humans, they're animals, they're cats and dogs. Well, this is a major reason, because cats and dogs, they don't have any restriction on sex life. It's just, among the dogs, whoever can snarl and yap the most gets to enjoy the bitch. There's no consideration of dharma. There's no possibility to even think of that. So their whole culture breaks down. Oh, they think it's very advanced. Yes, we have nothing against homosexuals, and the men become like women, and the women become like men, or they try to be, and sex before marriage, sex outside, married, but still having your partner. That's going on in India, very common now. It's become very common. There's a marriage, but the boy who's married has girlfriends from before, and the girl has boyfriends from before, so they're still carrying on their relationship from previous to marriage. These kind of things. These things are going on. That's another of Srila Prabhupada's common saying. These things are going on. This is going on. And then there's multiple divorce again, again, and again, and again. And there are severe reactions, but people, they don't know. They don't care. They prefer not to believe it. That's stated in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, that those who engage in illicit sex, they have to suffer severely in hell. And even in this world, it's so distressful. The modern society is so distressful in so many ways. It's so many difficulties. And just to live, and just to live your life, so many stresses and troubles, just to go day after day. Everyone is struggling and suffering, and competition, and then there are wars and famines and terrorism and diseases, epidemics, and just miserable. And it's all, why is that like that? It's all reactions to sinful activities. And sinful activities, among them illicit sex is very prominent. And people who see other bodies simply to be enjoyed, then they will have no qualms about animal slaughter, meat eating, and they want to eat meat. They want to eat lots of meat, then they get more strong and they can enjoy more sex. And then drinking comes, because to eat meat you have to digest it, and then you need wine and so many. It's a downward spiral. So it's very hard to combat this. You can see how everywhere the culture is just breaking down everywhere. All over the world, even in the West, it's bad, and it's just getting worse. Everything's getting worse. So, what can we do? We can't spread Krishna consciousness. It can't go very widely if people are engaging in these sinful activities. But we have to preach Krishna consciousness. Of course, people can become purified by chanting. But our devotees, they themselves have to be convinced of this. If we think that, well, it's all okay, anyway, what does it matter? We have to preach against this also. But even among devotees, members of ISKCON, I'm talking about, devotee is a broad term. So we see homosexuality, it's okay. It's not. For that matter, Vishayendriya Samyoga, heterosexuality, it's also not okay unless it's engaged in Krishna consciousness. That's true of everything in the material world. Nothing's okay unless it's engaged in Krishna service. But the problem with homosexuality is that it cannot be. There's no way to engage that in Krishna's service. So we don't hate anyone. Otherwise, how can we preach if we hate anyone? So we don't hate people who have these tendencies, but at the same time, we should know that it's to have such a tendency is itself a inherited from a very sinful background in a previous life. Of course, who's not sinful in the modern world? But we shouldn't promote it. We should know what's right and what's wrong. We see even, again, among our ISKCON devotees that modern ideas of women's roles are promoted. Of course, in the West, Srila Prabhupada, he didn't try to promote this very much. There's a history behind that, how he saw how the Western young women who were coming to him, they were absolutely not ready to follow so many different rules. So Srila Prabhupada didn't make an issue of it. But in India at least, it should be known. I shouldn't have to say these things, but there's a certain time of the month when ladies don't come to the temple, but now they come. Because I don't know what their reasoning is, but the thing is, it's everything is breaking down. There's no shyness. Srila Prabhupada writes that shyness is the great strength of a woman. Going, going, gone. No one even talks that contraception is sinful. It's on the level, in Shastra, it's on the level of abortion. But they somehow, it's going on. Yeah, then no one speaks. If we say this, people will get upset, so we don't say it. And therefore it goes on. If we say it, it may go on also. But at least there will be some who will take this seriously. And then they can start to actually get the effect from chanting Hare Krishna. Because if we're chanting Hare Krishna and engaging in sinful activities, then it's like pouring oil into the fire with one hand and water with another. The effect of pouring the oil is nullified. So we should know that this is the great enemy. In the Bhagavad Gita, we find at the end of the third chapter, Lord Krishna speaks about this nitya vairi, the eternal enemy, jahi shatrum, Krishna tells Arjuna. He uses two words, which both mean enemy, to describe kama, the material desire, of which the sexual desire is most prominent, very strong, and very difficult to control. But there again, there are systems to control it. The human civilization, whereby, just like here in this purport, it's described a young man and a young woman meet and they become attracted. But in a civilized society, that doesn't happen because young men and women, they're not allowed to mix. So it doesn't happen. It's considered bad, not only that they would engage in illicit sex, but they'd even talk to each other. Is considered something wrong, even mix with each other. And even in the Western countries up to not so long ago, they had separate schools, or there weren't schools. Most people didn't go to school. But it's all upside down, the whole society now. So we can't expect to be loose in our personal behavior and dealings and expect that the lusty desires won't come up. It's Vishayendriya Samyoga, that means the conjunction or coming together of the senses and the sense objects. So this means seeing, touching, tasting, smelling, feeling, and thinking about. These are the actions of the senses. So seeing, if there's no seeing or talking among each other, then this principle of the how the lusty desires become inflamed, that is less likely to happen if we don't create a situation in which it can happen. In other words, put it simply, if men and women don't mix, then not only does it protect against illicit sexual activities, but even the desire won't, has much less chance to arise. That means even among grihasthas, there's no free mixing of men and women. It's not that men have someone, one man has someone else's wife as his friend, and they meet and they laugh and they joke together. No. And you think, well, that's pretty rough. What's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong is the end result. It makes it much more possible. Of course, I expect that all of you sitting here today, you know this. But it seems that not even all of our devotees even know this. And we had a case here recently of someone who, even though told it's wrong, thought that it's okay and tried to justify himself. Although everyone was saying, you shouldn't mix with a woman who's not your wife. And you say, well, you're not doing anything wrong, bringing prasadam or whatever. Whatever excuse was there. And maybe he didn't do anything grossly wrong, probably didn't. But all of you could understand that just to be like that is not proper. Now, if his wife had gone and mixed with her, no problem whatsoever. But for a male to mix with a female who's not his wife, or mother, or daughter, or sister, it's you can understand there's something improper there. Even we are warned by Manu and by Vyasadev, Matra Svastra Duhitra Va Navivictasano Bhavet Balavan Indriya Grama Vidvangsang Sapikarshati. He says that one should not sit close even to one's mother, sister, or daughter. Because all the senses, indriya grama, they're all very strong. And even someone who knows this, they can become. Even one who's learned in Shastra, which suggests that he's not just vidvan, he's not just learned, but he's also cultured. He's also following religious principles, even such a person can become disturbed. The senses can become disturbed in such a situation. So there is a need to discuss this, and especially for the younger generation who are coming up, because they don't hear this, they don't see it, maybe in our own community of grihasthas. Otherwise they don't see it. They see all around them encouragement to act in a way which will inflame the lusty desires which are naturally very prominent, especially in youth. So they especially need protection. And the protection in traditional culture is early marriage. And then marriage means they're there, even the young boy and girl are married, but they're still under the control of their parents. Not that they can just indulge in whatever they like. So the young generation, they need to be taught this. We need separate schools because the atmosphere in the schools is very bad in this regard especially. They think that whatever you do, it's okay. It's all right. Who are the role figures? Yad yad acharati shreshtas tada devete rojana sayat pramanam kurute lokas tadanu vartate. Who are the leaders of society? Who's politically, who's supposed to be the most powerful person in the world is the President of the United States. I don't know. He's definitely not... it's well known that he's gross in his interactions with women. He's married how many times? I think at least 3 times. And the President of the Russian Federation is also divorced. These are politically the 2 most powerful people in the world. And what kind of role model is that? So we need separate schools to have a different kind of education altogether. That the goal of life is to understand who is God and what is our relationship with Him. And for that, we have to become purified. We cannot indulge in sinful activities. And at the same time, become advanced in Krishna consciousness. Yeshang tvantagatang papam jananang punya karmanam tivanva moha nirmukta bhajante mandira vrataha. Persons can very seriously and determinedly worship Krishna if they're free from sinful activities. And if they're in clear consciousness, they don't see in terms of I, me and mine, duality. This is something for my enjoyment. They don't see like that. They have a vision of oneness, that everything is meant for Krishna. Everything is meant for Krishna's. everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. So this dridhavrata, this firm determination to worship Krishna, to serve Krishna. We have to practice Krishna consciousness very seriously. Just knowing this, we got our Bhakti Shastra degree or whatever, just knowing it, that doesn't in and of itself stop the lusty desires in the heart. Knowing it can help to protect us from fall down, but there are social systems also whereby the mixing is very much restricted. Without that, very, very difficult to overcome lusty desires. Srila Prabhupada allowed that, especially in the early days in the West, in the Western countries, because he wrote letters back to India saying that you just can't stop them. The girls and boys, they're so accustomed to mixing up. But that doesn't mean that that should be that's some new standard that's acceptable for everyone, everywhere. Srila Prabhupada told more than one of his Indian disciples that you can learn philosophy and dedication to Krishna from the Western devotees, but the culture, you should follow the culture that you learned at home. So Srila Prabhupada is quite aware that the Western people were culturally very backward. And he wanted to introduce Varnashram Dharma. And that will help to overcome the desires within the heart. Of course, there are many, the material desire takes many forms. Desire for comfort and good food and prestige and wealth and so many things. But the sexual desire is one which can cause, if indulged in, it causes, it has immediate devastating effects on our Krishna conscious advancement. If someone has a desire for comfort or good food or prestige, you can go on chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, any material desire is not good. We shouldn't indulge that or cultivate it. But this desire doesn't have the same devastating effect that indulgence in illicit sex has, and it just devastates our whole advancement. So we should know these things and practice modesty in our dealings. Every man should matrivat paradareshu, should see and address every human female apart from his wife as mother. And it's not just that by putting on tilak or even just by chanting that the material desires in the heart will go away. Of course, chanting that will, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, but again the example of pouring oil into a fire from one side and water from the other. Along with chanting, there are various rules and regulations that we have to follow. Otherwise, the effect of chanting will be very slow. Tivrena bhakti yogena. One has to practice Krishna conscious very seriously and pray to Krishna and understand these basic rules and regulations of human interaction so that we don't become victimized. Ajamil, famous example of someone who he didn't even intend to do anything sinful. He had no such thought in his heart, but suddenly he was exposed to seeing the people engaged in lusty activities, and that triggered within his heart some impure desires which he was unable to control, and he fell down. So I may say, well, anyway, he chanted Narayana at the end, but that's not guaranteed. Don't think that, well, anyway, now I know, and Narayana, okay, I said it, and now, okay, now we can just do whatever we like. I just have to remember at the time of death to say Narayana. Well, namno baladyasahi papa buddhihi. This is offensive to think like this, that you can go on with a sinful life, and at the end I'll chant Hare Krishna. And it's not within our power to say how we're going to die. So if we think like that, that becomes more of an obstacle for advancing in Krishna consciousness. So it's just a very simple principle to understand. Illicit sex is very bad. Even the not following the proper culture and behavior regulating interaction between male and female, that's also very bad. Now, in the Western countries, they have no clue about this. And even our devotees, they hardly have any clue about this. And among our devotees, it's become just so normal that someone's married and then they divorce and they get married again and it's so... It's not conducive for spiritual advancement. It's certainly not conducive for showing ideal society to the people of the world, which Srila Prabhupada very much wanted to do. So let us all be very careful in this regard, as the number of devotees here is expanding. Everyone's welcome as long as they're prepared to follow all the requisite rules and regulations, but let us set up, at least in this small group compared to the rest of the population of Salem City. Let us set up such a culture in which everyone is very seriously centered on Krishna consciousness, and these things are observed. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? Oh, that point about Ajamil, I didn't finish that. How we don't know exactly, we don't have all the information, but it seems if he had been well warned about this in advance, he might have not just fallen down. We should warn that this will cause disaster in your life. We should tell young people, as we should teach the Bhagavatam. All the narrations in the Bhagavatam. Yeah, then anything? Question? Comment? Yeah. Yeah, this book about Brahmacharya. You're saying it's very helpful. So yeah, people in India can still understand the principles underlying that. So you can distribute that also. There are a whole bunch of Tamil copies in Vellore which are sitting there for years, undistributed. All right then, Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.